All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to a couple of different places here. 2 Peter chapter number 2 is our main scripture tonight. And we're also going to be in Deuteronomy chapter number 13 and chapter number 18. So Deuteronomy, if you just turn to 13, we can get to 18 from there, okay? Deuteronomy 13 is 2 Peter chapter number 2. And we're going to take a look at the beginning here of 2 Peter 2. Took us a while to get through 2 Peter 1. We're going through this book, and of course the main theme is growing in our Christian walk, maturing in our Christian faith. And we see in 2 Peter chapter number 2, warning by Peter to these believers. Notice verse number 1, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways." That word pernicious means destructive or ruinous. "By reason whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words," notice, "make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." We live in a day where false prophets abound and are leading many people astray. Just going to get worse as we come close to the Lord coming. Peter writes here about the characteristics of false prophets and teachers that we are to avoid, and we're to expose them for these destructive and ruinous ways, or pernicious ways as he calls them. And I want us to take a look. You know, this is nothing new. Even Moses warned about false prophets, false teachers. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. They've been around for a while, and they're going to be around all the way until the Lord does them in, amen? And there is coming a day when they will end. Deuteronomy 13, verse number 1, says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him." Look at chapter number 18. Chapter number 18 and verse number 15. Chapter 18, verse 15, talks about when the Lord Jesus Christ would come. A prophecy related to the Lord. It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet," notice it's capitalized there, "from the midst of thee, and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Notice verse number 18. Verse number 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." That's why we need to listen to Jesus, amen. Verse number 20 there says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it, it's presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." I want to share with you tonight one of the main ways that we can discern if someone is exhibiting the traits of a false prophet or teacher. And if they're exhibiting that, we ought to avoid them. I mean, the Scripture is very clear. Jesus was very clear himself about false prophets. And the apostles were also. You'll find in the apostles' writings that they warned constantly of false teachers and false prophets. Now, here's the way, the main way to discern if someone is exhibiting the traits of a false prophet or teacher. Look at what the true source of their message is. Look at what the true source of their message is. Is it the Bible or is it something else? Some folks use their own human reasoning as their source. Jesus had some of these folks during his day and time. Over in Mark's Gospel in chapter number 2, there's a story about when Jesus healed a man with palsy. Remember, there were four that bore him there, and there was a great company of folks that were there, and they wound up having to break down the roof, let him down through the roof. Remember that story? Well, in that story, the scribes were sitting there. There were certain scribes. It says in Mark 2, verse number 6, it says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Because when Jesus saw the faith of these men bring him down, he says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And he said, "Wait a minute now. Who can forgive sins but God?" What they were saying is they didn't believe that Jesus was God. But Jesus is God. And he proved he was God. And immediately it says that when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" These scribes, if they had taken the Old Testament Scriptures and they had compared the Old Testament Scriptures with Jesus Christ, they would have known and should have known who Jesus was. It should have been evident to them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He was the prophet that Moses was speaking of there in the book of Deuteronomy. Now the Bible says in the book of Proverbs twice, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, that there is a way that seemeth right. Seemeth right. That's you reason within yourself. You reason in your mind. Well, that seems right. That seems okay. It says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen, our own human reasoning is not going to lead us to the truth. The Word of God is going to lead us to the truth. So some folks use their own human reasoning as their source. Some folks use their religious background and teaching as their source. There's another story in Scripture. In fact, I'm going to have you turn with me here. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7. And we see here the scribes and the Pharisees questioning Jesus about his disciples eating without washing their hands. And this is probably a familiar story to you too. But in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7, look at verse number 1. It says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not," notice this, "holding the tradition of the elders." Did it say that they were holding the Word of God? No, they were holding tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Now, did they get all this stuff from the Word of God? No. It's their tradition that they came up with. Notice verse 5. "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders,
but eat bread with unwashed hands. He answered, this is Jesus' answer to him, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, and this is written in Isaiah 29:13, by the way, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. If you were to talk to the scribes and the Pharisees, you would have thought, well, these are some very religious people. Well, they were religious, but they were lost. They were religious, and they weren't very biblical. Notice verse number 8. He said, for laying aside the commandment... let's back at verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see that? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. So we see here they were keeping tradition. They were followed their religious background and teaching, what they had been brought up to believe, rather than follow God's Word. Notice how they got away around God's Word, verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. In other words, be free from keeping that portion of the law. Say, ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So we see the error of these scribes and Pharisees in following their religious background and teaching as their source rather than the Word of God. So some use human reasoning, some use religious background and teaching. A third thing, some folks use extra-biblical sources as their source. Extra-biblical, that means things outside of the Bible. The Mormons use the Book of Mormon. And you say, well, you know, couldn't the Book of Mormon, couldn't it be given to by us? I mean, after all, he claimed that an angel from heaven gave him those golden plates, and he wrote down those things from those golden plates that the angel gave him. The angel even named the angel. Well, here, listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1:8, because that Book of Mormon goes against this book right here. Okay, it goes against this book, preaches another gospel. And Paul said in Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You just chunk that out the door, right? That's what he's talking about there. I've got some of my family that are Seventh-day Adventists. They use the writings of Ellen G. White. In fact, they'll hold her writings up right there with Scripture. She's nothing but a false prophet. That's all she is, false prophetess. But they all hold it on equal basis with the Word of God. Jehovah's Witnesses use the writings of their so-called prophets as well as their own false translation of the Bible. They brought out their own translation of the Bible because this contradicts their teaching. Okay? You use this and you can prove to them that Jesus is God. They don't believe Jesus is God. There are some charismatics who use visions and dreams and say, well, you know, I know the Word of God says that, but I had this vision the other night, or I had this dream the other night, and boy, it was just so real. Listen, you better set that stuff aside, because the Word of God is what we are to follow. Many other false prophets claim that they have received extra-biblical revelation, or that the extra-biblical revelation that they have is inspired by God, and ought to be on the equal plane with the Bible. Wrong. That's just wrong. We've got the completed Scripture. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." And here are some questions to ask when faced with a prophet or preacher or teacher. Number one, is the Bible the true source of their authority? Is the Bible the true source of their authority? I refer to 2 Timothy 3:16 this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that means it's God-breathed. That's what it means. It's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But the trouble is that Paul told Timothy there was going to come a time when folks weren't going to take the authority of the Word of God. We're living in those days. We're living in that time. He told him in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 2, he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He's talking about the Bible. He said, "For the time will come when they that will not endure sound doctrine, but will, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I preached a series a while back. I looked it up about 2.5 years ago on the Baptist distinctives. What sets us apart? Those of you that were with us may remember the very first one we looked at is that we believe the Bible is the final authority for our faith and practice. Why is that so important? Because the Bible says that ought to be so. The Word of God ought to be your final authority. There's no man, there's no woman, there's no nothing outside of this book that ought to be our final authority for what we believe and what we practice as a church. It's the Bible. This Bible is a living book. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick. It means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's a story in the book of Acts in chapter number 17 where the apostle Paul, Luke writes how the Apostle Paul had an encounter at Athens with some philosophers that were up on Mars Hill. And in Acts chapter number 17, it says about them down in verse number 19. It says, "And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, and saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is." They were thinking that Paul had some new doctrine. What Paul had the truth of the gospel is what he had. He had right Bible doctrine. And they said in verse 24, "Thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." And it says there, and it gives us a insight into these folks' mindset. It says, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new." You know, there's some folks that are in church that they're looking for something new. And if you go around looking for something new, could I tell you, you're going to get in trouble? We ought not to be looking for something new when we hear preaching and teaching. We should be looking to hear sound doctrine. What makes for sound doctrine? Does it line up with the Bible? Okay. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not sound doctrine. If it does line up with the Bible, it's sound doctrine. It's that simple, folks. Just that simple. Paul wrote these words to the Philippian believers in Philippians 3:1. He told them, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." He said, "To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe." Got to tell you that for me to preach the same things to you is not grievous. I love preaching the truth of God's Word. And there's some times when we cover some things that we've already covered before. But you know, we have a tendency to forget, don't we? We just do. And for me to preach those things over and over again and give you, I take different angles from it. We go from different places of the Word of God, but we give you sound doctrine from God's Word. It's not grievous for me to do that, but for you it's safe. It's safe to have the truth of God's Word keeping you front and center of where you need to be at in your life. So we look at the true source of what their message is. Is the Bible the true source of their authority? Number two, do they practice sound principles in their interpretation of the Bible? Now, some folks use the Bible, but they don't have sound method of interpreting the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, if it can be rightly divided, that means it can be wrongly divided, right? And so we have to have a sound way of approaching the Word of God. We must watch out for inaccurate quotations. When a biblical text is referred to, but is either not quoted in the way the text appears in the Bible, or it's wrongly attributed. I mean, they'll pull it out and make it sound like it goes with what they're talking about when it doesn't go with that. That's not what he's talking about. We're to watch out for twisted translation. That's when the biblical text is retranslated, not in accordance with sound Greek scholarship, but to fit a preconceived teaching of a cult. I just mentioned a while ago, the Jehovah's Witness have their own version of the Bible. What they have done is they have neglected sound scholarship in their coming up with their Bible. They have made it, they've worded it to agree with what they believe. No, we have the Bible is supposed to mold us. We are not to mold the Bible. Okay? The Bible is to mold us. We're to conform to it. We're not to conform it to us. We're to watch out for a biblical hook. And that's when a text of Scripture is quoted primarily as a device to grasp the attention of readers or listeners. And then it's followed by a teaching which is so non-biblical that it would appear far more dubious to most people had it not been preceded by a reference to Scripture. They use that Scripture and it makes it sound palatable. Be very careful. Main thing we need to do is watch out for the context. When somebody is pulling, especially if they're just pulling a verse of Scripture out and trying to say that it relates to a certain doctrine, you need to consider the context. Consider the immediate context. What is being talked about? The verses that come before, the verses that come after. Consider the secondary context, that of the whole book. What's the book talking about? Consider the broad context. I'm talking about the whole Word of God. How does it relate to the Word of God in general? Consider the topical context. What does the Word of God have to say about that topic in totality? And the doctrinal context. Another thing we need to watch out for is wrong definitions. Really need to be careful with the cults, because a lot of the words that we use, like justification and sanctification and glorification, they got their own definitions for those things. And you'll think they're talking about, and you say, "Well, that sounds pretty good." No. You better find out what they mean by what they're saying. Watch out, because correct Bible interpretation does matter. A third thing, does their message conflict with the whole of Scripture? See, the supreme rule of Bible interpretation, it's been a number of years since we went through I went through on a Wednesday night, and we looked at the matter of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the science of biblical interpretation. But we spent a long time looking at the principles of biblical interpretation. But we said back then the supreme rule of proper biblical interpretation, and I can't emphasize this enough, is to interpret Scripture with Scripture. Interpret Scripture with Scripture. So what do you mean, Brother Jerry? Listen, Scripture is its own interpreter and its best interpreter. That's why you see me so many times go from one end of the Bible to the other, sharing you passages of Scripture that relate to and support what I'm talking about. Scripture is its own interpreter and its best interpreter. A passage of the Bible should be interpreted by first comparing it with other parts of the Bible. Listen, all teaching should be subjected to biblical scrutiny. Jesus Himself said so. In John 5:39, He talked to folks who should have known the book. And He told them in John 5:39, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And He said, "They are they which testify of Me." And 2 Peter 1:20, we saw last week in that verse, says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." It's not of any private interpretation. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, private interpretation, when it says no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, a private interpretation can be one in which a Scripture passage is isolated or kept private. You try to interpret it by itself alone without comparing it with the rest of the whole of Scripture. You can make the Bible say all kinds of things by pulling little here and a little there. You just can. We must compare Scripture with Scripture. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. How are we able to interpret Scripture? We're able to interpret Scripture because we have the Holy Spirit of God living within. Those of us that are saved by God's grace, we've got the Holy Spirit. God's given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus left us with that Comforter, and He said He was going to be the one that was going to teach us. Remember when He talked about that in the Gospel of John? You can read about that over in John chapter 16. Talks about those things. But look at what it says here. Paul reiterates this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. He says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." See, God wants us to know. Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth." That gets back to that human reasoning. We don't use human reasoning. We don't use man's wisdom. "But which the Holy Ghost teacheth," notice this, "comparing spiritual things with spiritual." That gets back to comparing the Word of God with the Word of God. Interpret Scripture with Scripture. He says in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Until he's got the Holy Spirit of God living within, he can't interpret the Word of God. Can't. Not correctly. A private interpretation can also be one whereby the interpreter himself establishes the meaning of Scripture according to his own definition. He said, "Oh, well, you know, you're listening to me. I'm the one that's going to give out the interpretation of what this is. And you don't need to listen to anybody else. You listen to me." And there ought to be a stoplight come on and stop sign pop up and say, whoa. No private interpretation. What's been the interpretation of this by other men of God? How did Paul and Peter interpret stuff like this. Private means pertaining to self. That is, one's own. Listen, if a teaching does not line up with Scripture, then it is heresy. It's heresy. Jesus Himself linked lining up the Word of God with being a true disciple. Remember when He said in John 8:31, He says, "If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Look out for anyone who is at conflict with the truth of Scripture. They're not true disciples of the Lord. They don't have anything that will make anyone free. I wonder tonight, have you been freed from your sin by receiving the truth of the gospel? What do we know of what the Word of God says? Well, listen, it's a fact that we are all sinners. That's a fact. A biblical fact. It's a biblical reality. Every one of us, including this preacher, we're sinners, is what we are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another biblical reality is because we're sinners, every one of us is deserving of the second death. Every one. And so, well, you know, I know I've sinned, but I'm not really not all that bad. God says we are. On top of this, there's nothing that any of us can do to save ourselves from the wages of sin. That's another biblical reality. You can't do anything to save yourself from your sin. Not enough churches you could join, not enough baptistries you could be baptized in, not enough good works that you could do. Ain't going to happen. The only way you could be saved is to have somebody else pay the wages of your sin. Listen, Christ died for the sins of the whole world according to Scripture. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later He arose bodily from that tomb, evermore to live. That's a biblical reality. So salvation is now freely offered to anyone and everyone. It's not like the group, there's a group that goes around and says, well, you know, there's only a certain folks that can be saved. Listen, but my Bible says that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. Salvation is freely offered to anyone and everyone who will turn from their sin of unbelief and trust solely and fully in what Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary. And that, my friend, is the greatest biblical reality in the Scripture. Amen? We can be saved. And if you haven't believed on the gospel unto salvation, you need to do so before you leave here tonight. If you are saved, get in the book. Stay in church. I can't emphasize it enough. I mean, there's a reason why the writer of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. There's a reason. And that's because we need to stay under biblical doctrine. I can't imagine what would have happened. I grew up in Sterling Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia. Just a little country church, you know, out there on the outskirts of Brunswick. And a little community called Sterling. But I was under the preaching and teaching of this book. I had a pastor who was a good Bible teacher and preacher. Didn't preach his own human reasoning. He preached the book. I set up under him before I ever went to Bible school. And I went off to a Bible school that was supposed to be a good Bible school. In fact, it was the one that he had graduated from, but they had drifted away from what they once held. I'm glad that I was grounded before I got there. I can't imagine if I'd have just went there with an open mind and said, okay, well, just fill my mind. Because I wouldn't be what I am today. Listen, if you're saved, get into the book and get into church at every chance that is given for you to get grounded in the Scripture. I'm talking about every time the doors are open. That's the way my parents had me in the church, every time the doors were open. Boom. I'm glad today. I wasn't so glad back then. You know, I had things that I'd like to do. I'd like to stay home on Sunday night and watch Lassie, Lost in Space, and My Favorite Martian. Those things were the things that were popular back during the time that I was growing up attending church. And all my friends were talking about those those programs that were there. I said, man, I could be home doing that. No, but I was learning the truth of Scripture. And I'm glad that I was learning the truth of Scripture. Don't be deceived by smooth-talking false prophets and teachers. Don't go looking for something new, because somebody is going to give it to you. I guarantee you, there are people that are coming up with new stuff all the time. And some of them have a Baptist name out there on the sign, too. You need to watch for some Baptists that are false teachers and preachers. Look for that which is tried and true, and that is the Word of God. You stick with the book. You stick with this right here. You can't go wrong. You will not go wrong. You stick with the Bible. I'm talking about you get in it and you find out what it's talking about, and you live your life according to the book. So, if you're here without the Lord, come to know the Lord tonight. If you got the Lord, man, cling to the Scripture. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for sound doctrine that comes from the teaching and preaching of this book. Lord, help us to be on guard for the false teachers and false preachers that are in our society in this day and time. Lord, help us not get wrapped up into wanting to hear something new. Lord, to get mesmerized by some doctrine somebody comes up with that is contrary to what we find in this book. Lord, help us to cling to truth. There's one here that's lost tonight. Help them to come to know Jesus as we have this invitation, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. I'm going to play a hymn of invitation. I'll be standing out in front here if I can help you. If you need to come to know the Lord, just come see me. We'll get you some help tonight.